thank you for joining us for another powerful message from the teaching ministry of Destiny Church. We hope that you'll be challenged and stretched to grow through today's message. But most of all, we hope that you'll encounter the Father's love. If you're in the greater Mobile Bay Area, please join us for our weekend worship celebration. Or if you're looking for a church family excited for a revival, please come join us in bringing heaven to earth.
Today, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6. I'm really going to focus on this one verse, but we'll probably read a few more. We started this series last week, so Matthew chapter 6, if you want to go there in your scripture. We started this series last week, and it's really birthed out of a prophetic word where Jesus, he in a service like this, I believe it was tongues and interpretation, I'm not sure, but one of those supernatural gifts. And listen, I think everybody here today has some background knowledge of spiritual gifts. If you don't, if you're new to the faith, or if you're new to this house, you know, we're a supernatural church. That's a redundant statement. Every church should be a supernatural body. All right? But we experience the gifts of the Spirit. Today in this house, there have been several operating already. The gift of tongues, interpretation, the gift of prophecy. Those have been operating in this house. If you don't understand those, I would just encourage you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 12, and 13. All of that will explain it. Or sorry, 12, 13, and 14 maybe. But you get the point. Go there and you'll find where there's the operation of the gifts. They're explained to you. They're still in operation today, or at least that's the thinking of this house. That's our stance on that, you know. And so as we're looking at this, Holy Spirit spoke to us in one of those moments. And he just said this. He said, prepare the way, prepare the way, prepare the way. And there was no explanation. There was nothing else. It was just that. Prepare the way, prepare the way, prepare the way. And so when there's no explanation from the Lord, I usually just take those, park them, and ask God for greater revelation. Because how I typically am, I'll start trying to figure out what the Lord is saying, and usually I'm wrong. I mean, I wish I were more spiritual than that, but I'm just telling you, I have just assumed what I knew. I knew what God was saying, and I've been wrong more times than I've been right. And so what I've done is I've just like, if he doesn't say it, let's just wait and until he gives more instruction. And so as we begin to pray and seek God, like, God, what do you want us to teach next? The Lord, I shared with you, this is about 2 weeks ago, how I had just gotten up and said, man, I'm just telling you, man, when I go to sleep, I'm asleep, just within a few minutes. And I shared this with you last week, so I don't want to be too redundant. But I went home, and later that week, the enemy robbed me of my sleep. And worry came upon me, and fear came upon me, and I could not sleep. And I lay there about 4 hours. It was miserable. I mean, at one point, I was praying for death like the prophet. Just come kill me now, Lord. I just can't take this anymore. It's miserable. And somewhere in that time, as I was just praying about different things, trying to fill space, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not trying to say I was even doing it out of a spiritual motivation. I'm just doing it out of desperate motivation at that point. I'm like, God, you know, help me here. And I heard the Lord say, faith, family, and finances are the next three things I want you to focus on. So I want you to take the month of October and focus on faith, our living faith, like not having great faith. You know, having faith for something is one thing, but our living faith, the way we live this thing out, the way we act this thing out, because church, the church is at a critical point in our witness. We've just lost so much influence. We've lost so much in our ability to impact. I mean, I'm telling you, man, I'll get on some of these Facebook sites, like what's happening in Daphne. I'm talking about local stuff. And people will be talking about church. And there are people that will be saying things like, church is the last place you need to go. Church is one of the worst places you can go. Like, and that breaks my heart. because what's happened is the church has lost influence in people's lives. And it really ought to be a place of healing. It ought to be a place of restoration. It ought to be a place of God doing stuff, you know. And so this first, we're going to focus on our living faith. When we look at the whatever million people that don't vote, that is, we're not living our faith out. Yes, because faith and how we make decisions for our country, like that's part of our faith. You know, issues like abortion. You know, we were talking the other day, and I won't call any names, but people in this room, we were talking about abortions and how in their sphere of influence that some of their colleagues who are Christians are pro-abortion, and they lead vacation Bible school at their churches. You know, when we're at that point, like we're not living a biblical faith anymore. We're living a culturally relevant faith. And then he spoke to me about families. And this is, I'm just telling you, man, the Lord, he's doing some things in me in a sense of revelation. But I'm like, God, I don't really think. Y'all aren't like this with the Lord, are you? Where he'll say something to you, and then you're like, I don't think so, Lord. Do y'all do that? Because I do that all the time. You may not want a pastor that's like that. But when I'm like, God, I don't think we need family stuff. Like, I think we got, our families are good. And then I'm telling you, the very next week, multiple situations in people's worlds let me know, like, hey, God knows what he's talking about. God really does know what he's talking about. Shush and listen to God and trust him. And then I'm like, finances at Christmas time? We're supposed to be talking about baby Jesus in a manger come to save the world. Like, how does all that fit? I'm just trusting him. I'm just trusting him that he knows what he's talking about. Let me just say this too. Now, This year we didn't do like a fall festival here at the church, and we're like, we don't know why. We just didn't feel at ease about it. And so we're like, let's just go with that. Let's just trust God that we're not supposed to do that this year or whatever. I really believe as things have happened, like Hurricane Helene and then Milton coming through Florida, I've been in contact with two churches, and I don't know what their needs will be, but I really believe that God said, pause what we're doing here so that we can look at helping in those areas. And I don't know what that means. I don't know what that's going to look like. I've been in touch with Betty's son's church to see, you know, how we might be able to help them. Then Shay and I have friends that are in that swath that it went across Florida. And so I've been in touch with them. So just be listening when the time comes. Because you understand, this hurricane hit right before winter. It's fixing to get cold in the mountains. It's already getting cool. And so we're really going to just listen to what God has for us for there. So going back to this, our living faith, living our faith out. Listen, church family, I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings. And if this hits your family, please don't think I'm trying to single you out. But I can't not say stuff just because it hurts somebody's feelings. I can't not talk about abortion because somebody's had an abortion in the room. I can't not talk about homosexuality because somebody in this place has a situation where that's, you know, affecting their family. I can't not talk about finances because of whatever, whatever. Like, the word is the word, and that's what we talk about. And so, you know, as we're talking about our living faith, the reason I believe the Lord wants us to come back to this place of faith is because we've got to get to this place of how big is our God. Alan brought a prophetic word last week. It kind of interrupted the service right there and brought this prophetic word. And it's like, how big is our God? Like, I've recently heard somebody say, you know, I worry all the time. I worry all the time. Well, that is not a characteristic that we as Christians should be carrying around. Like, if you're worrying all the time, that needs to stop. That needs to stop. However, If you're living in some kind of sin somewhere, then that needs to stop. We can't just continue in ways of unrighteousness and expect God to bless it. And so this really is about realigning our faith. And listen to me, my church family. If you can't look at me eyeball to eyeball through a service where I'm talking to you and I'm preaching to you, and if you can't look at me eyeball to eyeball without feeling some kind of shame or guilt, then you just need to ask the Lord, what is it in my life? Because I know, because I've been that person sitting there, and it's like, Jesus, I'm not even looking up because I just know he's talking about me. You know, the Lord's ministering to me, or at least trying to. This is a time where God is trying to realign the church and bring us back into alignment. If you would just be here, you understand I said recently that the average attendance for a church goer now is one Sunday a month. Well, I'm just telling you, if you come to church one Sunday a month, you're going to miss things in that body of Christ. You're going to miss things that God is speaking to that body of Christ. A few weeks ago, the Lord spoke, I believe it was on the Sunday that Alan preached, and the Lord said this in this house as a prophetic word to this house, that you have wondered why you've been passed over. You've wondered why you aren't being used. And the Lord said, because of certain things in your life that you are holding on to, you have basically made yourself, I can't remember the word, say it. Disqualified. You basically have disqualified yourself from service. Because vessels, and I don't want to get too much over into the next messages in this, but when we are vessels, we're supposed to be sanctified, holy, set apart. I'm just telling you, if you came to my house and I served you some coffee or some tea or some beverage in something that looks like the dog took a crap in, are you going to drink it? No. Like, you want something that's clean. The same thing is with the Lord. You know, when God uses us, he expects us to live in a lifestyle that is holy and acceptable. And of course, we're never going to be able to do it in and of ourselves. So that's where grace kicks in. However, there is a part that I play in sanctifying myself. He sanctifies me spiritually, but then I keep myself holy by doing acts of righteousness, which again, I'm getting over into another message in this series. So turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read a few verses here. And really, this whole thing started out of a series of really our living faith, but focusing on worry, like just worry, carrying around worry, worry over relationships, financial hardships, worry about what people will think of me because of certain things, ways I'm living, you know, just different things. And Jesus, in this part of Scripture, he's talking to them about worry over daily things, just like financial things, material things. And so in verse 19, I'm just going to back up a little bit. He says, don't store up treasures on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. For wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your whole body. And when your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. Guys, that's important. Like, when you're not healthy spiritually, when I'm not healthy spiritually, it floods over into other parts of my life. And so if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep is that darkness? Just how powerful a statement is that? If the light, because some people think they have the light. That some people totally think, man, I'm just doing well. I'm doing well. But the Lord is saying, if the light that you have is really darkness, wow, how dark is it? How dark is it? It's so hard to witness to people like that. It's so hard for Holy Spirit to touch somebody's heart who allows them to get to that place. And how do you get to that place? By habitually ignoring Holy Spirit when he nudges you. It gets easier and easier and easier and easier to just ignore the moving of the Holy Spirit. All right? Let's see. Where was I at? 24. This is where I really want to start. No man can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot be enslaved to two. So what he's basically saying right here is, listen, there's a faith world and there's an empirical world, a tangible world, a monetary world, a material world. And he said, we're going to have to serve one or the other, but we can't serve both of those. And when I was worried and fear was gripping me the other night, a week or whatever it was ago, I'm telling you what, that material world gripped me in regards to things here, that deficits we have here at church. And like, wow, it's something that God truly is going to have to come through for. And the beautiful thing that I've said it over and over and over again is the way God comes through for us is through us, exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine. Through us is what the scripture says. It's like, you know, we're looking for God to just drop big pallets of money somewhere, and it's like, no, I'm going to bless your business. I'm going to increase your disability. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to bring bonuses. I'm going to bring, you know, new jobs. I'm going to bring windfalls, inheritances, however that is. That ought to excite us. And it's like, man, so Holy Spirit was really dealing with me during this time. And instead of letting fear grip me, I ought to just got up and just started praising the Lord. That's what I should have done. It's like, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but it's so big, it's going to be amazing because I know I can't do it. But when you do it, that's the faith we need to come into agreement with, that whatever your situations are, that when it happens, how big the testimony is going to be. And so he says, no man can serve two masters. Verse 25, he says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? He says, look at the birds. They don't even plant or harvest or store food in barns. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully about wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Verse 31, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. This is what he's saying. Listen, people who don't have any faith, that's what dominates their thoughts. That's what they are overcome, overwhelmed with. But we are different. We are people of faith. Not just we believe God can do it, but we have a living faith. He says, we're not like that. And so don't worry about those things. Those are things, verse 32, that dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Now, this is what I want. On the screen, I have a version of this, and it says, seek first, the verse I just read you, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Last week I talked about seeking first So there's a seeking and there's a setting of a priority. So there's this passion that we seek something. I'm telling you what, if you've ever lost something valuable, there are even parables that Jesus said. Man, when that woman lost that coin, she turned the house upside down searching for that coin. And so there are things when we're passionate about, man, we will drop what we're doing. It's like, man, I can't go to the movies with you. I can't do this. I got to find this. So they, because it's valuable to you, it's a memento, it's something that you'll go through great lengths to find. Jesus is saying that I want that kind of passion. When you desperately want to find something, use that kind of passion, set a priority on it. And what are we supposed to set a priority on? Seeking the kingdom of God. His righteousness will come next week, and then the things added to us will come the week after that. But today, we're going to focus on the kingdom of God. And so when we talk about the kingdom of God, many times in the household of believers, people really don't know what the kingdom of God looks like. Listen, I went to Lee University. It's a Christian school. I left there. I went to the School of Theology. It's a Christian seminary. I got out, started doing ministry, all of these things. And one day, the Lord began to, I just was reading the scripture And I came across the kingdom of God, and I'm like, you know, I've heard that pretty much my whole Christian life, as long as I've been a Christian. What is that? Because how I grew up, no offense to my church upbringing or anything, it could have been that I wasn't paying attention and they were teaching it. But what I got was the kingdom is there. Like, if we could just make it through this world, like, my God, you know, let's just get through this horrible world. I mean, many of our songs, you know, I love to do this, so y'all just bear with me. Many of our songs, I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl, keeping my record bright, watching both days. You know, songs were all about heaven. It was an escapist mentality that, oh, if I could just endure this world, this whole sinful world. And Jesus, when I started growing in the Lord myself, I started feeding myself. I started looking at the kingdom and I'm like, wait, the kingdom? He says, seek first the kingdom of God. Make the kingdom of God a priority. But what is that? I want you to look at this. Luke 17, 21 says, you won't be able to say about the kingdom, oh, here it is, or it's over there, for the kingdom of God is already among you. Some versions of scripture say it's at hand, like it's imminent, it's right here. The kingdom's already come. Jesus said this as he was teaching us to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So there are certain things of heaven that we can bring into this realm. Why? Because we live in both realms. We live in both realms. We have dual citizenship, where we have an earthly citizenship, but we have a kingdomly citizenship. And so he says, the kingdom of heaven, in some versions, it's in you. And it will flow out of you like rivers of living water. So the kingdom of heaven is not some place that we're going to one day. It is. But it's also a place that is within us. So what is the kingdom within us? And I just begin to research and learn from myself. Like, what does the kingdom of God really mean? All right, it's broader than just some place that we're going to die and go to one day. And here's where I want to take us. All right, we've already read the scripture, so I'll move past these two. This is the take home for us. Say it with me. Jesus wants us to place a priority on the kingdom of God and pursue it. All right, he wants us to place a priority on the kingdom of God and then pursue that. What is the kingdom of God? He wants us to place priority. So we got to understand, well, what are we placing a priority on? We have to understand, what is the kingdom? So say it with me. Jesus wants us to place a priority on the kingdom of God and then pursue it. He's saying, I don't want you to worry about all this other stuff. I don't want you to worry about all of these things that we've been so worried about. We've gotten off focus. I'm just telling you what, if you look at culture out there, not culture of the church, but the culture out there, it will get us off focus of what we're supposed to be focusing on. Those things are going to take care of themselves, but man, we cannot lose purpose of who we are as the church. And Jesus wants us to place a priority on the kingdom of God, meaning it's important. It's important. It's first in our life. And then we pursue those things. Because what's happening is we don't, first of all, place a priority on the kingdom. And number two, we don't pursue it. Because I'm just telling you, the way I was raised, we going to be in church.
Well, Pastor, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian.
I get all of that. There are a lot of people that come to church that they're probably going to bust hell wide open at the breaking the speed barrier. I get that. Church is not what makes you a Christian. Relationship is. But if you are a Christian and you are studying the Word, you're going to see that the Word tells us that we were created for
community.
We're created to be together. We're created to combine our faith. We're created to do things for the kingdom together. So when we do these things, when we look at the Word, we're going to see that, hey man, coming to church is important. We're going to see spiritual things are important. So what is the kingdom of God? What does Jesus mean by the kingdom of God? Well, first of all, he used a metaphor of a kingdom. Now, I think, this is just me, I think sometimes that, you know, if we could understand like he understands, he wouldn't have used certain metaphors. But because we have a limited understanding, God, he uses things that we can understand. And you've heard me say this before, that the kingdom supernatural, it sort of mirrors. It does break down because we're not trying to bring God down to our level, water it down. Some places are. In some circles, we do. But we're not trying to take the great, sovereign, all-sufficient God and reduce him to our minutiae. You know, no. But what he's trying to do is he's trying to find things that can give an illustration of the kingdom of God. And he uses so many metaphors. The bride of Christ is one. And he's like, let me explain this relationship between me and you. Well, the highest form of relationship on earth is a husband, a wife, family. Why, church, do you think that the enemy is so hell-bent on attacking the family? That is, one male, one female, and children that are propagated from that relationship, because that is the relationship that God uses to exemplify himself to us. You know, another in this whole thing about the afterlife and this life here, our empowered life, is he goes, what's the highest form of I guess government structure that you can understand? Well, the government. So our governments then were kingdoms. And so he is going to use a metaphor to explain the supernatural community in a context that we can sort of understand. So let's go with that. So he says, the kingdom of God is at hand, and I want you to pursue the kingdom of God. And it's not so much that God is saying to us, I want you to do it because it would really make me feel good. He's saying, I want you to do it because that's where you're going to find your power. That's where you're going to find your resource. That's where you're going to find your identity. That's going to be where you find what you're looking for. And He wants us to pursue the community of the kingdom for us, not necessarily for Him. He's wanting us to live out the community, to seek the community, the kingdom, the community of the kingdom, the power of the kingdom, the identity of the kingdom. He's wanting us to pursue that because when we come into situations, if we're living the kingdom, we're going to live different than we live outside of that mindset. So what does He mean when He says the kingdom? Well, first of all, in every kingdom, there is a sovereign. We call Him Lord in the Christian faith. You've heard me say this to you many times, that Jesus is the Savior of the world, whether you accept Him or not. It doesn't mean He's like you get saved. It just means He's the Savior. That's who He is. You can't change who He is. My dad is my dad. I don't care if I want to divorce him. I don't care if I want to disown my dad. I don't care. He's my dad. I can't change that identity. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Whether we accept Him or not, He just is. Now, Lord is different. Is He Lord of our life? We have to accept Him as our Lord, make Him Lord of our life. We have to accept Him as our Savior. He's our Savior whether we accept Him or not. But is He Lord? Lord. Well, when you think of Lord, Lord, a sovereign is one who has absolute power over everything. Absolute decision-making power. Absolute final say over everything. And I'm telling you what, when you make Him Lord, I'm telling you everything is His. Everything. The house that you live in, the car that you drive, the clothes on your back. I'm telling you what, when I really got this, when I really got it, material things no longer mean. I like them. I like material things, and I like nice material things to a degree. You know what I'm saying? Like, I live in a nice house. I drive a nice car. They're all average. But here's the point that I'm trying to make. None of those make any difference to me. My house, this is the way I feel. My house, man, it's an instrument. It's an instrument. Because the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He gave me the ability to have it, and He can very well give me the ability to not have it. My car, the clothes on my back, the money in my wallet, the money in my bank account, it's all lorded over. I've given it over to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, however you choose to use that, it's at your discretion. I'm telling you, when you really get to the place of lordship where you've given Him everything, the Apostle Paul says, I beseech you, brothers, present your body as a living sacrifice. Man, I gave Him my shirt. I gave Him the shirt off my back, the money in my wallet, the house that I have. You know, the scripture says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And then Paul says, hey, man, when you've given everything, lay your body down on there. Give your body as an instrument to be used by God. So there's a sovereign Lord. Is He your Lord? Like, I'm serious. I heard somebody say recently, y'all can say this is me bragging on myself if you want to or not, maybe it is. But I heard somebody say one time, well, many times, you can tell if Jesus is Lord of your finances just by looking at your checkbook. And I'm like, I'm going to see. And I'm just telling you, I did this literally just about 2 weeks ago. And I just started looking at all the checks that I wrote out. And I said, God, you really are Lord of my finances. You really are Lord of my finances. And I'm telling you what, when you get to a place where God has rulership of everything, everything, what does it mean? God, you have lordship of my body. Like, I don't just get to do what I want to with my body. Hear me, somebody. I don't just get to do with what I want to. There are things throughout my life, I've been younger, one day I'm going to be older, but there have been times in my life where I wanted to do things with my body that weren't pleasing to the Lord. And it's like, if he's Lord of my body, like if he's Lord of my body, I don't get to do those things with my body anymore. It could be drugs. I never had drugs issues or anything like that. But whatever your issue might be with your body, you fill in the blank. And it's, Lord, are you truly Lord of everything that I have? Everything. So pursuing the kingdom of God, when he says, I want you to pursue first the kingdom of God, it means, hey, is he Lord of everything in your life? That's not a rhetorical question. That's a question I want you to ask yourself in this service today, and I want you to go home and I want you to ask yourself, is he Lord of your tractor? Is he Lord of your vehicle? Is he Lord of your body? Is he Lord of your house? Is he Lord of your mind? Is he Lord of everything that you have? The second thing is this, is that every kingdom has a territory. Every kingdom has a territory. And in the British kingdom, there it used to be said that the sun never sets on the British kingdom at one point, that they were all over the earth. And whenever the sun went down in one place, it would rise in another. And it would be always on the kingdom. That's how vast it was. Do you know that there's a territory that you and I go into? And when we go into territories, listen, I'm telling you, I have had people to tell me, man, I wouldn't have anything to do with that area. And I'm like, what? The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. I don't care if the enemy had a stronghold in that area. We're going to take it back. Like, we're going to take it back. We don't acquiesce to the enemy. The enemy submits to the authority of the name of Jesus. And so wherever our foot steps, that's our territory. When we go into it, I mean, we were over in New Orleans here a day or so ago. And I'm just telling you, man, it's a creepy place. But God has called people there to be a witness in that area. There's so much demonic stuff over there. And I'm like, man, I was going into places. And I'm like, Lord, I don't carry any of this stuff out of here with me. I don't carry any of this stuff out of here with me. And, you know, we're just walking down the street and you'll see voodoo stuff and psychic stuff and all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't partner with any of this. I'm not taking any of this home with me. God, I don't partner with any of this. But God has called people because that's God's territory. That's God's territory. And there are people that God has called to be in the middle of New Orleans. Amen? And so we have a territory in the kingdom, and we have to understand where our territory is. Wherever you go throughout the day is your territory. A lot of times we think that, man, I got to go to work. I got to go to this hellhole. I got to go to this place. I don't want to go. And it's just like, oh, I'm telling you what, if you'll turn that around and you'll be like, I carry the kingdom of God inside of me. He said, the kingdom is in you. So when you go into that place, let living water, let the kingdom flow out of you. Now, I ain't talking about y'all go in there and do some of that crazy, you know, just off the wall stuff that people don't understand and they label you as weird. That's happening all over the church. And here's the deal. You know how to operate in the spirit. Listen to me. You know how to operate in the spirit, but you don't know how to operate in the spirit in the world. You know how to operate in the spirit in a church service, but you don't know how to operate in the spirit in the world. We'll accept some things in here because we have some biblical knowledge. But you're out there among pagans and they don't understand some of these things. And so when you begin to present the gospel out there, just go be light, first of all. Because I'm just telling you, if they think you're weird and they don't like you, they're not going to receive from you. So Jesus, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said in 1 Samuel 16:7, says that God looks at the heart, but man looks where? On the outward appearance. So if man looks on the outward appearance, we have to first witness to them in an outward appearance way, with our language, with the way we approach people. And you begin to make that influence, and our influence grows with them. And then we begin to introduce a greater level of the kingdom to them. So you have a territory, wherever your territory is, and you begin to say, God, I'm going to pursue my territory. I'm not going to look at it as the hellhole that I got to go to. I'm not even on it. I'm going to look at it as, God, I am the light of the world. Jesus, the world wants to see Jesus in me. So I'll be the best reflection of him that I can possibly be. Remember, that's a declaration of, yeah, I don't know if it's a couple of years ago. The next thing is this. We're citizens. We are citizens of a place. Every kingdom has citizens. Every government has citizens. And look at this. The word ecclesia is all throughout the New Testament. And the word ecclesia is not a spiritual word. It's a spiritual word to us because we have nearly 2,000 years of experience reading the Word of God. But when Holy Spirit is writing the Scripture through the New Testament writers, he's taking common everyday words, vernacular, that this is a Greek word used for general assemblies. They would call a town hall meeting, and they would call it for a specific purpose. Governmental meetings. We're meeting at the town square for this reason. The ecclesia is meeting there. And so as they're writing the scriptures, the word ecclesia becomes a cultural word that now becomes a word that we know well in Christendom as the called out group for a specific purpose, meeting together for a specific purpose. And the New Testament writers use this to refer to the word we call church. Ecclesia. It's an assembly of called out ones. And in 1 Peter 2 and 9, Peter says this. He says, but you're not like that. Like what? Like what? Like right before this, he's talking about people who have basically forsaken God. They've not acknowledged the chief cornerstone. They're not acknowledging Jesus Christ. He says, but you're not like that. And this is what he says you're like. He says, you're not like that, for you're a chosen people. Like God chose us. If we could get that into our mind, he chose us. You are a royal priest. Like that's a duality. We are royal and we are priests. So in the kingdom of God, our citizenship is not lowly. You understand that, right? We are part of the royal lineage of Jesus. That the scripture says that we are co-equal with Christ, co-heirs with Christ. That's hard for you and me to have a fathom of what that means. I am co-equal with Christ. That just does not even sound real. I'm not making that up. That's scripture. So if I'm co-equal with Christ, meaning I have certain degrees of authority that Christ has, Jesus said, the same authority that's been given to me, what does he turn around? He turns around and gives it to us. So we understand that we're not just anybody. When you pursue the kingdom, you are pursuing your identity. You begin to learn, like, what is my level of authority? Every one of us knows our certain level of authority. You know it in church. You know it in your business. Some of us know it in our homes, don't we, honey? Wink, wink. You know your level of authority when you begin to pursue the kingdom. And it's like, man, I'm telling you what, I didn't always know my level of authority. And I would call people and ask them to pray for me or pray for situations. And then once I begin to understand the authority of the believer that I have as a royal priesthood, that he has delegated authority to me, I don't even have to ask somebody. I can just take authority over it myself. I don't have to have my preacher to do it. I don't have to call, you know, I can get extra backup, but there are situations where it's like, man, stop wasting time. Point your finger at that devil and just say, no, I rebuke this in Jesus' name. I'm done with it. Yeah. And so let me rush through these others because we're over time. Government. There is a certain government. This is one that it's really sad that the body of Christ doesn't know the government of the church. Ephesians 4:11. They think that apostles have been done away with. I do an incredible teaching on this, and it's not incredible because I do it. It's incredible because of the subject matter. There are foundational apostles, the original 12, and then, of course, Matthias. There will never be any of those. They were foundational to the inspiration and the birthing of the church. But the very idea of apostleship is equal to discipleship. There weren't just 12 disciples. Those 12 developed into 70 and 72 and 144 and, you know, just kept going. Until today, we are disciples. So there's this apostolic succession. There's this discipleship succession. And so there are apostles. Again, apostle is not a religious word. It is today religious to us because you and I know it from the scripture. But for them, it's actually a Roman word that was used for military leaders. Apostles in the Roman military would be sent out to certain areas, and they were governors, and they would go up and set up Roman culture in those areas. That's what apostles do. And so the foundational apostles, but today we have functioning apostles. The church, I don't want to get off on this, but the church has done one of two things. They have written that off as they don't exist. Or they've gone over here in la-la cuckoo land, and it's like, you know, well, I'm Apostle Rife Stewart. And apostles attached to my name, and I got to have me a purple suit, you know. Because everybody knows if you have a purple suit, and if at least if it's down to your knees, you got a powerful apostolic anointing on you. And I'm being sort of tongue-in-cheek funny, but listen. There are apostles who are truly taking territory for the kingdom. Amen. That you don't have to call them an apostle. As a matter of fact, Paul didn't need to be called an apostle. None of that. It's like they are apostolic in their function. Then you end up having prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And it's amazing to me, in the church, we have no problem believing that there are evangelists. We have no problem believing there's pastors. We have no problem believing there's prophets. But we start kind of picking and choosing. No, it's all. And the scripture says there in Ephesians chapter 4:11 that all of these Christ gave to the church, and they're in function until the church comes in such unity. I'm just telling you, that ain't happened. We are still being perfected, and we will be continue to be perfecting to the day that he comes, and we don't need those anymore. So that's the government that we're looking for. And then the culture. There's a culture. What's happened in the church, guys, is we have adopted the culture of the world inside the church. That's why our services look like rock concerts. That's right. That's why we are okay in the church with abortion. That's why we're okay with homosexuality and transgender and all of those. And we have people that will get upset when we preach against that. We're not even preaching against it. We're preaching God's standard. You know, and if it hits between the eyes, it just does. So there's a culture in the church, and ours is a supernatural culture. And it's crazy that people will come to church and they do not want the supernatural moving of God's Spirit. They don't want that. They don't want church. I promise you, I really am trying to finish up here. But they don't want a church service that goes past, I kid you not, they don't want a church service that goes past an hour and 15 minutes. So they have to have only 15 minutes of worship that, you know, I'm telling you, y'all, I don't know if y'all think I'm joking or not. There are churches that I know personally. Y'all remember last week I said, how do I know? Because I know. I know because I know the people leading those. And they're like, yeah, we have our worship down to 17 minutes. Every service is 17 minutes. We have no more allocated for that. I'm just telling you, man, you come in here, I get it. It ain't popular. I get it. We could get bigger crowds if we did it differently. But when we come in here, we're going to do whatever Holy Spirit, whatever direction He leads us. That's why we're, you know, on the fly trying to pull a song in to do, because felt like Holy Spirit was doing that. That's why we'll sing some songs a cappella. That's why we'll have a prophetic word in the middle of a service somewhere. That's why it's different every time you come. Every time you come, because God is in control of really what happens in this house. So there's a culture, and it's a supernatural culture. The next thing is this, is that there are laws in every kingdom. There are laws. There are laws. This is our law. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word, oh God, have I hidden in my heart. Why? So I won't sin against you, God. He's saying, I want you to pursue the word. I want you to pursue the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is set up and it's descript by the word of God. This is where we find out the laws that we're supposed to abide by. And it's like, man, in this room, we know this word. We know this word. There are some of us that we've been brought up in this word. And we've allowed our own personal lifestyles to usurp the authority of the word. Whatever area of your life that refers to, that's called idolatry. And God will not bless it. I'm not trying to be hard on you, church. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm saying these things because I love you. Bring that area of your life into alignment with the word and watch Him begin to bless it. Because God is not going to share His glory with idolatry. He's not going to share His blessing with idolatry. But Pastor Rife, I'm being blessed in this area. And it ain't from God. It's from somewhere else. But it rains on the just and the unjust. You understand? It's like that's just life playing out for you. But I'm telling you, if you'll bring it into alignment with the word of God, He will bless it. This is the next thing. There's a protection that comes. Psalm 91 beautifully states that as citizens of his kingdom, that we are entitled to a certain amount of protection. In this country, we are entitled to have an army that overlooks our borders. I'm not trying to get political there. That overlooks our borders to protect us the same way. This is how it is in the kingdom of God. People who are in the kingdom of God, we walk with a level of protection. And I'm just telling you, the scripture says that He has appointed His angels charge over us. In Psalm 91, there are angels that are assigned to you, that are assigned for your protection. This last thing, and we're going to get to this more at the end of the month, provision. Provision. He's saying, you're worried about provision because of how the earthly system works. I'm fixing to say something that's powerful, and it's going to hit you right between the eyes. We worry about those things because we're operating on a Babylonian system. We're operating on a system of mammon. We're worshiping that almighty dollar. He's saying, you are not part of that kingdom. You're not part of Babylonian system. You're part of the kingdom of God, and He takes care of His own. So the very things you're worried about, that I'm worried about, it's already taken care of anyway. So let's not worry about Him taking care of our provisions. Let's focus on the calling that He has on our life, living out that culture, and then watching God bless us. Say this with me, and I'm fixing to get ready to let you go. Thank you for being so patient. We went a little long in worship today, so that's why we're going over here. Yeah. Say it with me. Jesus wants us to place a priority on the kingdom of God and pursue it. I want to share with you in this house, and I'm going to ask every person if you would look me eyeball to eyeball. I can't look at you all at once, but you can all look at me at once. I want you to begin to pursue the kingdom in every area of your life. I want you to leave today and go, God, is there an area of my life? Some of y'all aren't even going to have to search far. Because you already know there are areas. Is there an area of my life that does not line up with the kingdom? And now, God, give me revelation of how I begin to line that up with your word. So you begin to align yourself up because there's greatness. Listen, this is not some preacher junk that I'm trying. There are things in your life that need to be used in the kingdom. And I'm going to be so bold as to say right here in this local ecclesia. But where you are right now with things out of alignment with the kingdom, it disqualifies, it nullifies the gift to be used. It doesn't nullify or disqualify you or take the scripture says the gifts of God are without repentance. No, it's still there. But God can anoint something that continues to live in rebellion. Get it in alignment. Whatever the Lord is speaking to you, get it in alignment. So what do I do with the word? Number one, make Jesus your Savior. Make Jesus your Savior. If you are not saved, just ask the Lord, Father, forgive me for my sins. Come into my life. Bring me into relationship with you. I accept your Son as my Savior that paid the penalty for my death, that made up the difference. You came in and paid the extra that I could not make up for myself. Adopt me as your son or daughter. I graciously accept you as my heavenly Father and Jesus as my Savior. Give your life to him. Number two, evaluate whether or not Jesus is your Savior and Lord. And then number three is this. Get involved in the ecclesia. Like, get involved. There are study groups you can get involved in, consistent attendance, volunteering to serve. Those, believe it or not, those are not things that we're like, hey, we want to get this out of you. We need it. We need you. We need you. The fact is that we do need you. But you need the body of Christ.